بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، so we were still discussing the first ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And we had explained in the previous three lessons that Alhamd means we are praising Allah because of a perfection in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are praising unconditionally, not because of anything Allah has done, but because of how perfect Allah is. All praise unconditionally and exclusively, every type of praise without putting any condition, belongs to Allah and only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The phrase Rabbil Alameen, it is in fact a description of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the phrase Alhamdulillah is complete in and of itself. And that is why we say it, Alhamdulillah. We don't need a reason to praise Allah. Allah is worthy of being praised. Just like anything, Ibn al-Qayyim says, that the hearts have been created to appreciate beauty. The hearts have been created to appreciate beauty. And we see this in the world around us. If we see anything that's amazing, if we look up in the heavens and we see all of those stars, if we look at a sunset, if we look at any of the miracles of Allah, we feel a sense of what? Awe, grandeur, majesty. The hearts have been created to appreciate the ayat or the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how much more so should the hearts appreciate the beauty of Allah Himself? So Alhamdulillah, we don't need a reason to praise Allah. But there are those people whose hearts have been a little bit covered up or sealed, a little bit harder. They need a reason. They need something. Why should I praise Allah? So you want a reason? He is Rabbil Alameen. He is Rabbul Alameen. So out of all of the names, out of all of the descriptions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah is worthy of being praised, not just because He is Allah, i.e. worthy of worship, but because He is Rabbul Alameen. And we explained what is Rabb. And Rabb, we said, has three primary meanings: the owner, and the one who is obeyed, and the one who sustains. And by the way, all of these three meanings, it goes back to complete control. Because the one who controls you, the one who owns you, automatically you must obey him. And the one who owns you, the one who is in charge of you, automatically he will be in charge of taking care of you. So the meaning of Rabb really is the one who is in charge of. So Allah is the Rabb of what? Of the Alameen. The Rabb of the Alameen. Now what is Alam? Alam, Alameen is the plural of Alam. What is Alam? Scholars have differed. One opinion is that Alam is the world of the angels and the men and the jinn. So Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of the angels and the men and the jinn. So the Alam, according to this opinion, are those beings that have intellect. This is one opinion. So Rabbul Alameen, Allah is the Lord of mankind and the Lord of the jinn and the Lord of the angels. This is one opinion. However, the stronger opinion, and in fact the correct opinion, is that Alam is every species of creation that has a ruh, that has a soul. So an alam is every species. What does alam mean? Alam means an entire species, an entire creation that has a spirit in it. So the birds are one alam. In fact, not even the birds. Every species of birds is an alam. And every species of insects is an alam. And every species of cattle is an alam. And man is one alam. And jinn is another alam. And the malaika is another alam. So Allah is saying, I am the Rabb of all of these different species, these different creations. So an alam is an entire creation that is unique. This is an alam. Every unique creation with a ruh. Now, what does this exclude? This excludes the creations without a ruh. Such as what? Rocks and mountains and stars and whatnot. Now, Allah Azza wa Jal is also the Rabb of those entities. Is that not the right? He is the Rabb of the makhluqat. He is the Rabb of everything. So why then did Allah specify, I am the Rabb of the Alameen, when He could have said, Rabbul makhluqat, Rabbul mawjudat. He could have said anything, but He specified, I am the Rabb of those species that have spirit, that have soul. And every species that has a soul has some level of intellect, by the way, right? Every species that has a ruh, it has some level of intellect. No doubt the highest level of intellects are the angels and the men and jinn. But every being, an animal knows when it's in danger, right? The ant communicates with other ants, it needs some intellect. So an alam is every species, as we said, that has a soul and some intellect. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specify He is the Rabbul Alameen? Because The category of beings that can think and that have a ruh is the most noble and the most powerful. And praise comes when Allah says, I am the Rabb of these intelligent, of these sentient, of these ruh beings. This is where the praise will come. As for the non-spiritual creations of Allah, i.e. the mountains and the whatnot, these creations, the animals, are in fact in charge of them. Allah says in the Quran, وَخَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مِّنْ Allah has created everything in the world for you. So we as men take advantage of the rivers, the streams, the vegetations. We plant the crops. We can cause an impact in the nature around us to whatever Allah has given us. So by saying that Allah is the Rabb of men and jinn and all of these animals, in fact, all of the other creation is automatically included. Because we know that we can cause an impact in the inanimate objects around us. And where will praise come? Praise will come when Allah says that the most powerful of the creation, I am their master. Praise will not come by saying the weakest of the creation, I am their master. No, we are the most powerful of the creation around us. We are the most knowledgeable. We have the most intellect. So when Allah is saying He is our Rabb, so automatically everything lesser than us is included in that. Rabbul Alameen. Also realize that this ayah, Rabbul Alameen, implies many things. First and foremost, that there are many species and there is but one Rabb. There's only one thing that's unique, and that is Rabb. Everything else is not unique. This is implied in Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. You, O man, are not unique. You are a part of an alam. There are billions of other humans. You are not unique. Every creature, every bird, every cattle, every animal, it is not unique. It has millions and billions of similar creation. But Allah is unique. There is one Rabb and there is plenty of alam. And within each alam, so an alam is not just one man. An alam is a species, a creation. So within this, you are not alone. You have plenty of equivalents. You have plenty of similar creatures. So by saying Rabbul Alameen, we automatically imply from this that Allah is Ahad, Samad, unique, Al-Wahid, and all of the creation is not Ahad and Wahid. All of the creation has something similar to Him. It is only Allah. لَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ By saying Rabbul Alameen. Also, we have over here, by saying Rabbul Alameen, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning that He is the one Rabb that takes charge of every single species, even in their relationship with each other. Now think about this. We as humans, as every species, we interact primarily with our own kind. But the fact of the matter is that nature around us, every species interacts with another species. We study when we are in grade school, middle school, we study the ecological system. We study the balance in nature. Simple example, in the savannas or in the jungles of Africa, there must be a specific ratio of the predator and the hunted animal. Of lions and zebras, there must be a particular ratio. Allah is saying, I am the Rabb of these alam and how they deal with one another. Not just the Rabb of each species. I am the Rabb of the species as they deal with one another. So within Rabbul Alameen, you have a system. And Allah is saying, I am in charge of the system. That there are so many elements, so many pieces of the puzzle. So Allah is saying there are so many pieces of the puzzle, but there must be one who is in charge of all of that. So within Rabbul Alameen, we also have synthesis and harmony. And Allah mentions in the Quran that if there were more than one God, then the creation around you would have gone sour, would have gone fasid. There would be fighting, chaos. You would not be able to sustain yourselves. But we look around us and everything takes care of itself. And nature takes care of itself. Everything, of course, Allah has created it that way. Everything takes care of itself. And one of the things I always like to illustrate on, look at this notion of recycling. Look at this notion of recycling. What must we recycle? That which we have perverted from nature. Nature itself does not need recycling. Think about it. Anything that nature produces, Anything that is produced naturally, you don't need to recycle. It's taken care of. We are the ones, we pervert, we corrupt, we take plastic, we take glass, we synthesize, we do. That's the problem. That's what throws in a problem, a spanner in the works. As for nature itself, what we call nature, it's the creation of Allah, that's something that every single element is in perfect harmony. And Allah says in the Quran, Surah Tabarak, look at the creation. Examine the creation. Do you find a flaw? Do you find a break? Do you find a crevice? ثُمَّ رَجِعِ بَصَرَ كَرَّتَيْنِ Go ahead and continue examining. You shall not find a single flaw in the perfect harmony of the creation. Your eyes will become tired, but you won't find a problem. So by saying رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ automatically it is implied in this one phrase that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken care not just of the alam itself. He takes care of man. He takes care of animals. He takes care of birds. As Allah says in the Quran, that every single creature, its sustenance is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا مَا مِن دَابَّةٍ There's not a single creature except that Allah will take care of its sustenance. So He is the Rabb of every alam. But this verse is going beyond that. Not just the alam, but the relationship between the alams. The relationship between the species. There is one Rabb that has synthesized all of that. So Allah is worthy of being praised because number one, He is Allah. We don't need any other reason. He is the one who is worthy of worship. And then number two, if you needed a reason, then our Lord is the master, the creator, the sustainer, the nourisher, the one who is obeyed, not just of one creation, but every creation that exists. He is the one that takes care of that species and He takes care of the species in its relationship with other species. So the phrase Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen can be translated as we praise Allah with every praise that is a unique and unconditional praise, a praise that He is worthy of because He is worthy of being worshipped. This Alhamdulillah. And of course, because He is the master and the sustainer and the Lord of every single creation and every single species besides Him. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. One brief point because we're going very slowly unfortunately in the surah and we only have 12 days left and I need to finish the surah before this month. I need to just quickly mention Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim because we've already done this before. So just to reiterate, we have already discussed Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim 2 weeks ago and we talked about what is the difference between Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Why does Allah repeat it? We already said Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Go back to the first week. We said Ar-Rahman is the one who has mercy. He's characterized by mercy. Ar-Rahim is the one who shows mercy. And we talked about the differences. Now the question is, anybody who recites the Fatiha would already have said Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Then he says Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Then immediately, again, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Why? We're not going to explain Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, we've done that. The explanation here right now is why the repetition. Response. The phrase Rabb could indicate a master whom you are scared of, who is harsh, who is in charge. Whenever you hear authority, whenever you hear power, the human instinct is to feel scared of that. You know, if you're driving quickly, the cop goes by you, what happens? You feel scared, like, oh my God, the cop, did he see me or not, right? It's human nature to fear power. It's human nature. It's ingrained in us. So Allah is saying, yes, I am a Rabb, but I am not a harsh Rabb. I am not, astaghfirullah, an unjust or an evil Rabb. I am not a Rabb who is characterized by harshness. No, my primary characteristic that you should know who I am, my ultimate characteristic is that of mercy. I am merciful and I show mercy. I am a merciful Rabb. So in order to re-emphasize, because rulers, masters, kings, presidents, they're all either good or they're bad. They're either beloved by the people or they're hated by the people. They're either just and fair and merciful, or they're cruel and mean and evil. And Allah is saying, no, I am a Rabb, but the primary characteristic that I want you to know about my rububiyyah, my lordship over all of you, is that I am a merciful Rabb. And I am merciful by nature, and I am merciful in my actions. So after we praise Allah, then we remind ourselves He is our ultimate Rabb. We then calm down and remind ourselves our Rabb is not an evil, He's not a harsh, He's not an unjust Rabb. Our Rabb is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. But then that tomorrow we're going to get into Malik Yawm al-Din, we also remind ourselves, yes, there could be also a potential punishment for those who deserve it. So this ayah perfectly balances the emotions. The emotions are perfectly being balanced between love and fear and hope, and that will be the topic, insha'Allah ta'ala, tomorrow. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.